winter weather can turn on a dime, and when it does, your car can't. If you've been injured in an accident, call 1-800-HAYMAN. Experience makes all the difference. I'm John Heyman, and that's my promise.
Scott Cohen, brought to you by Pride Stores. Over 30 locations, Western Mass and Northern Connecticut. Locally owned and operated Pride Stores are the area's best kept secret. Scotty, good to see you.
Good to see you guys, too.
That was so cool. Last night, that shot of Lady Gaga on the roof.
Yeah, she did. She was...
The game was pretty good.
But I mean, the Lady Gaga thing, come on.
The drones, that was, I saw that at Disney last month. That was what they did last night while she was out there. Those are all drones.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Yeah.
I thought they're all drones. I thought it was like a backdrop kind of thing.
We saw that at Disney last month. There were like 200 drones, and they all changed lights and made patterns and stuff.
Huh. Now, here's what I thought is amazing. She changed into that second costume in a matter of seconds, and she can fly.
She can fly, buddy.
I know. For a minute, I thought I'd have to cut down on these bath salts, but no, she can actually fly. That's a performance.
You had some very funny lines on the old Facebook yesterday.
I was...
out loud funny.
I was live tweeting for a while yesterday. Yep. That was... I don't do that with every event, but yesterday just seemed to be kind of the
Super Bowl
right thing
Sunday.
To do.
Come on.
So I'm trying to fast forward here and look back and forth. So she must have been wearing the second outfit under the first one.
All right, so let me get this straight. The greatest comeback in football history, and you're and we're discussing Lady Gaga's costume changes.
Yeah. Well, we've been here for an hour and a half.
That's
now.
True.
That's all we've been talking
well,
about.
That's true.
Let's talk about this for a minute. I think it's important to point out that the Atlanta Falcons are an amazing football
team.
Yes,
they are.
And I don't think there's
any
of us, you can gloat all you want, but they were downright kicking the Patriots' ass.
They were kicking their ass, like you read about. Bigger, faster, younger, stronger, name your superlative. They had that game completely in control. And in many ways, guys, what happened last night, it just doesn't make any sense. The first half, completely different than the second half. You know, the cards were the coin completely flipped, the table turned over.
But not even.
It just didn't make any sense.
Not even right away, because I remember saying,
and they came out flying in the second half.
That I hoped that the second half they were going to be a different team. They didn't score the first touchdown until 7 minutes left in the third quarter.
Right.
I mean, they went a long way into the second half before they finally started doing it.
There's no question, but Atlanta wasn't scoring either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm posting stuff on Facebook. I knew when the Patriots kicked that field goal and they were within two scores, I'm like, this is still not over yet.
Well, and they were lucky to get that field goal. I got to tell you. Give Steven Gostkowski his ring and his papers. Get rid of that guy. he missed that extra point. That would have prevented the overtime.
Right.
And they were showing the stats. He had like not missed a single one for 10 years.
It happens.
Up until this year, and now he's missed five. Out!
When he rattled that thing off the upright, that was almost a microcosm of the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and go like, really? Is this is what's going on here?
I think what's amazing about it is, yeah, even in, I mean, at some point you watch the clock and you say, okay, it's a two score game. And you look at the clock and you're going, there's no team in football that could turn this around and make this happen.
Except,
I mean, do you have any idea how hard it is for a team to make a 2-point conversion? Never mind twice in a row. It's not impossible, but it's just implausible.
It's implausible. There's no question about it.
By the way, that phrase 2-score spread is not true at all.
Because, what do you mean?
Because it could have because they were it was more than 6 points. Right? So it wasn't two field goals wouldn't have won. So to say two scores.
Yeah.
What was the spread? I forget.
You mean what was the score?
What was the score at that point?
They were down 28 and 16. They were down 28 to 12, right?
Yeah. So two scores could have been two field goals.
No.
That's not what they're talking
about. That's not
about.
What they're talking about. Why do you take everything literally?
I do take it literally.
Well,
because if that's not what you mean, then don't say that.
You need to stop.
I can't stand this phrase, pick six. When did we start saying that?
They always say that.
I've only heard that in the Patriots dynasty, you haven't
been paying attention.
Man, stupid
it's a
pick
phrase. Six.
Yeah. So Belichick, better than Vince Lombardi.
He's more, yes.
And Brady, the greatest of all time.
The greatest of, guys, the greatest of all time. You know, I was thinking about, you know, coming in here and talking to you this morning, and I have been covering sports in one form or another for
7 years.
For 38 years.
Since the earth cooled.
Since the earth cooled. For 38 years. I've been to three Super Bowls with the Patriots. You know, I was on the field when the Red Sox won the World Series, and I mean, just like anything and everything, I have been there and I have done it, and I can tell you that I have never, ever, ever, ever seen anything like I saw last night. It boggles the mind. Five Super Bowl titles, four MVPs. What this guy, he's the greatest NFL player of all time at any position. And talk about whatever all-time great you want to talk about in any sport. Gretzky, you know, Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady is their equal. What you saw, you're never, ever, ever going to see a guy like that again.
You've been covering it since Rob Gronkowski was wearing that caveman outfit.
Exactly.
What was that commercial for? I forget which one.
Oh, that was the Justin Bieber one.
Right.
It was a T-Mobile.
Yeah. T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
Since that time, yes, he's the greatest player of all time.
Yeah,
and you know, and a lot of times the difference between winning and losing is so minuscule. I mean, you know, if Malcolm Butler doesn't make that big interception last year in the Super Bowl, Brady doesn't win. If all of those crazy things that happened one play out of all of them. In, you know, let's just not even say the second half, in the fourth quarter, that catch by Edelman was, I mean, it was mind-boggling.
Well,
that was
wild. It only takes one play to start turning the tide.
It does.
And it did. And all of a sudden, you know.
It's one after the other backs.
As you're watching it play out, you're going, you know, he could do it.
He could do it.
If it's any quarterback in NFL's long history that could do it, it's that guy.
It's that guy.
And he
proves it time after time. After time, you know, he's been given so many superlatives over the years and well-deserved, and he just seems like he outdoes himself every single time.
But there's those rarities. You know, a guy who threw two interceptions in the entire season, regular season, and then threw two in the championship game, throws one last night. I don't know. Did they say how many times
a
has
pick
LeGarrette,
six, John? It was a pick six.
How many times did they say LeGarrette Blount has fumbled this season? Was it? I thought they said it was a lot. Maybe I was mishearing it. But, you know, I mean, that stripping the ball from him the way they did,
yep.
Those are the kind of things, no matter how good the offense is playing, those kinds of mishaps
you don't
can
recover.
Occur.
You don't recover from those things.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah. It's amazing.
The most remarkable, you know, apart from Brady, I thought the most remarkable performance of any player on there was the way Julian Edelman turned things around. And the first part of the game, he couldn't
catch
a cold.
No, they were dropping everything.
It was like they replaced the deflated footballs with footballs that were dipped in butter.
Hear that again? Deflated footballs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but that catch towards the end of the last couple of minutes, where he's, you know, bobbling it and holds on to it.
Three guys around him.
You can say whatever you want and go through NFL history. That is. A better play, a better catch than even the immaculate reception. That was the most intense catch I've ever seen. He dropped it twice and held on to it.
And it banged off of the Falcon defender's leg instead of being on the ground.
That took an amazing amount of concentration.
No question. And you know, and again, the big thing, never give up, never give up. They never give up on the play, and it starts at the top with Belichick, you know, going back to, you know, being the greatest coach of all time. Like I said, I've seen my share of everything, and I was just watching that game last night, and I'm like, this is just, I've never seen anything like it.
I was, as I'm watching the game and then it was over, I'm thinking about Mike Belise because of having gone to the game for two seasons with him and knowing what a huge Patriots fan he was. Somebody just texted me and told me the big LED sign in front of the dealership has a picture of Mike at a Patriots game.
Ah, you're kidding.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, oh, that
that's
is
actually,
cool.
That's very,
cool.
Very neat. But yeah, it was a hell of a game. I mean, and you know, screw you, Roger Roger Goodell.
Actually, I just talked about my view from the couch. I think because the game ended the way it did, yeah, that moment of actually actualizing revenge at that point just seemed to be kind of irrelevant and
completely irrelevant. Like, I totally agree.
The thing that everybody wanted to see was not the thing that people were caring about towards the end of the game.
Yeah, but did you see that handshake from Jonathan Kraft?
That I saw.
That was kind of like I saw.
It was a little dismissive.
Little cold.
Yeah. Thanks, dickhead. Appreciate it. Yeah,
but
thanks.
it just didn't. I wanted to see it. Like the first tweet after the game was done was, "Where's Roger?
Where's Roger?
Yeah. Where's Roger?
Where is?"
And I bet he was cheering for the Falcons through the whole game. Oh, this is great. I'm not going to have to do this.
And all of a sudden, he had to do it.
Yeah, man.
Did you also catch?
Oh my gosh.
Willie McGinnis at the end of the game?
I'm glad that I wasn't the only one who heard that. Dropping the MF-er right there on national TV.
Multiple times.
That was so funny.
Hold this MF-er. Kiss this MF-er.
Yep.
And it was hilarious.
So funny.
We were talking before, and we've talked about this before as well, of the whole celebration, preparation that goes into the game and then gets changed in the last minute, whether it's the confetti cannons or the T-shirts and hats. You know, it was within a minute or two before the end, you saw Arthur Blank standing on the sidelines. Obviously, he had moved down from the owner's box to the sidelines somewhere in the second half, thinking, I'm going to want to be there.
I'm going to want to be there.
And then, by the fourth quarter, they're showing him there and just looking really bummed. And he had a
blank stare.
Buddy,
he's sitting there thinking to himself, listen, I know I got the Home Depot and the hot wife, but I'm going to be dead soon. They got to win this game for me.
Is that his wife? I couldn't tell if it was until that shot of him on the sidelines. She looked young up until that shot. Then all of a sudden, she looked really drawn.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way the game had turned. That's his wife.
A few vodka tonics will do that to you. So.
yeah. But just the idea of all the, the celebration of everything turning like that in the final second to be able to get the, again, I think of the simple things, the confetti and the everything that's going to happen and change, just like it did 2 years ago when, I'm sure everybody in the Seattle area was ready to start partying, and then you had that
turns on a dime.
It's pretty wild. And they were showing in one of the pregames yesterday, they were showing people's YouTube videos from 2 years ago in that final minute. I can't wait to see the YouTube videos from Atlanta tomorrow.
No question.
Of all those people celebrating their living rooms until the last second.
Well, one of the really great stories or sad stories along the lines you're talking about, John, was 1986 when the Red Sox, had the lead in game six and they blew. The ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs and blah, 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 blah. Well, Gene Yawkey, the longtime owner of the Red Sox, she's old as dirt. She's in the Red Sox locker room. Everything is all plasticked off because of the champagne celebration. She's standing there with Bob Costas in the locker room. It's a foregone conclusion that the World Series is going to be over, and she's finally going to win after, what is it? Maybe it might have been
like 60 years.
Yeah, say 75 years. And just think of everything that she was thinking about with her husband and all the how close they came so many times, and then all of a sudden the ninth inning started, and one thing happened after another and another, and the Red Sox lost the game, and
she died in the locker
inside.
Room.
we all died.
And they had to whisk Mrs. Yawkey out of the locker room because it just wasn't going to happen. So it does, man. It turns like that.
Yeah. I mean, Arthur Blank, everyone was like saying, are you going to dance? You going to dance again? Yeah. Arthur, when I dance, it was like,
that poor bastard.
You kind of have to feel bad for that. The only other owner that I don't feel bad when he loses on the sidelines is Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
I love when Jerry Jones loses a game.
No question.
I also find that amazing. For all the people that can go to that game, obviously, without buying tickets. They said that there were 5,000 media members.
Yep.
Where did they put 5,000 media members?
It's the second time the Patriots have played a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl at that stadium.
Right.
We were, if you're looking at the field, they put us in the upper deck, kind of in the right hand corner.
In a section.
So we were sitting in a section.
In a section of seats. And they saw Jerry Jones there. So you wonder how many NFL team owners were at the game. Where do they sit? Where do all the players? I mean, I was kind of surprised to see Gronkowski right on the sidelines.
Yep.
But where do all the foreign players? You got Willie McGinnis was there. All of those guys. It's like, where do they all go? I know there's only like 1,600 seats for the normal person.
They have seats in the stadium.
In the stands.
In the stands.
They're not all in owner's boxes somewhere.
A lot of them are. But, you know, but Arthur Blank took every single employee from the Atlanta Falcons, the entire organization, he paid and brought to the Super Bowl, and he got tickets for it.
See, we talked about that on Friday. It's like, so you got the two team owners playing, they got suites. You got, I'm sure, the home team owner, the Texans.
You would think
owner was probably there well.
I mean, there's 71,795 seats at this place.
That's
a lot. This is a big stadium.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the luminaries who are going to be probably not in regular people's seats.
Very well taken care of.
Yeah.
And there's probably not even 10,000 of them. I mean, you're talking probably a couple thousand that get to go, and there's celebrities that get to go because they're affiliated with Fox.
That's right. I forgot about the celebrities.
Celebrities.
Where are they? Yeah. they're special people.
They are special people. And how about the three of us, I said, before we went on the air this morning? Three of us, we're happening guys, right? People know us, out and about all the time. The three of us just sitting on the couch at no Super Bowl party.
With one other person.
Yeah. I was there by myself. Merle went to bed.
Really? I was there with Lois.
Dog.
He went to bed.
Right at the end of the game.
Yeah, he didn't stick around for the ceremony afterwards.
Oh, I absolutely did that. I wanted to see
you didn't have to be here until 7 o'clock.
Well...
Yeah, but it's like
pat yourself on the back too hard.
I'm not. I'm saying I can't stay up that late.
It's like,
God's sakes, we're too old for this crap anymore.
But it's the most exciting part.
It is.
Like, we're not getting those the awards,
trophy. You wanted
speech.
To see what he said.
Yes.
We're not happening guys. We're happened guys.
Well,
it's already happened.
Yeah,
we're probably, done.
Time has passed us by.
I mean, buddy,
exactly.
I mean, look at us. Look where we are right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
Look at me looking at you. I mean, it's like I can't even believe that you're sitting here again waiting for me. To go.
Scott Cohen.
Sooner the better.
Brought to you by Pride Stores. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you guys too.
Dixon Rock 102.